Come and see. Come and be. Be all you are and all you can be. And leave all behind and calm your mind. Come and journey with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I always say exciting things come in small doses, and one of the great exciting things that happened in Lancaster County a few years ago was that Stouffer's opened a new store on Rosetown Road. It was quite an exciting event, you know, that they'd spread their wings from Kissel Hill and wandered to this side of town and opened a store on Rosetown Road. And so everybody was flocking to see it. You know, if you want to make a big splash, if you want to sell a lot of things, you open your store every other week, you know, and then people come and look around. And so, you know, there came a time, it was I believe it might have been the first Sunday, that Raylan and I decided to go and take a look and see what this new store was like. And so we went to Stouffer's on Rosetown Road and looked as though just about every congregation in the county had sort of gathered there. You know, we kept bumping into people that we'd known, you know, as we wandered round. It took 3 hours to walk round the store. And when I came out the other side, I'd got a wedding and a baptism set up. Such are the things that happen when clergy go round stores, you know. That's why we go at 7:30 in the morning, because there's nobody there, you see. It was later that I began to think that, you know, every encounter we have is an encounter with the holy in one form or another. It certainly was to those families that we met. Somehow God was present in that baptism invitation, in that invitation for a wedding. Certainly for them, you might say that it was a life-changing encounter. They come in different shapes and sizes, these kinds of encounters. Way back in 1990 or thereabouts, my niece got married in London. Her father had died some years before. And as a sort of guardian, I was asked if I would walk her down the aisle. And so I went to London. And while I was there, I visited my sister in Hull and we visited friends. And I planned a few days on Holy Island, on Lindisfarne, to actually go and meet with David Adam, who was a vicar of Holy Island and somewhat of an expert in Celtic Christianity. Raylan and I had known him ever since we'd lived in Northumberland. I actually went to talk to him about ordination. See, Raylan and I lived in Gettysburg in those days. We went to the Prince of Peace, Memorial Church of the Prince of Peace. Interesting church, by the way. It's the only church in the United States that was built as a memorial to the Civil War. You want to go and take a look? Look at the towers. Some interesting stones in the tower. Well, the rector in those days was a chap called Michael Cole, a tall, lanky sort of a fellow. The only man I've ever met who's got 3 passports. He started life as a priest in the Royal Air Force and then moved over to Canada for some reason and ended up a chaplain in the Canadian Armed Forces and then ended up running a church in Canada. And then he was down on a visit to Washington, D.C., to the College of Preachers, and somebody said, why don't you come over to D.C.? So why don't you come over to Washington? So he got himself an American passport and became priest at Prince of Peace. Really, there's a lot of comfort traveling around with a briefcase full of passports. Maybe he was just sort of, you know, hedging his bets. I don't know, but anyway, he ended up in Prince of Peace, and he kept saying to Raylan and I, you need to stay here, you need to stay here. We were planning to go back to England then, and he said, you know, you need to stay here. And I wasn't sure, so I decided to go and have a chat with David Adam. On the strength of that conversation, I stayed. And the rest, they say, is history. A year later, I'm in seminary, and if it wasn't for that conversation, then I wouldn't have been walking around Stouffer's probably planning a baptism or a wedding. I probably wouldn't be here now telling you the story. It's funny how encounters can change your life. Encounters with the holy on a holy isle. Like the wise men long ago, metaphorically I left by another road. Last Sunday, as you know, we celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany, the visit of the wise men to the baby Jesus. That was an encounter of the holy. It was a life-changing encounter. They returned to their own country by another road. And the lesson from the Gospel of John for this Sunday is all about encountering the holy. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the only ones who actually describe the baptism of Jesus. John doesn't. He skips over it. Almost, it's interesting, John sort of puts the whole baptism in the context of Jesus and John the Baptist passing by each other. Not a word is said. Read that gospel carefully. They don't talk to each other. They just walk by each other. And it's in the walking by that John the Baptist turns to his disciples and says, "That's the Lamb of God." Where baptism of Jesus became the identifier of who he was for the people who were there, for John it becomes a revelation. That walking by Jesus becomes a revelation. There, Jesus says to the disciples, is the Lamb of God. What on earth does that mean? Maybe he was dressed in a woolly shirt. Maybe he had big ears. Maybe he was going by, meh. What do we mean by the Lamb of God? That great reformer, Martin Luther, once said that the sins we commit weigh too heavily on our conscience. The sins that we commit weigh too heavy on our conscience. So God takes them and places them on the shoulders of the Lamb, and for Jesus and for God and for John the Baptist and Martin Luther and for the Scriptures, Jesus is that Lamb of God who reconciles us to God. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes all those sins that weigh heavily on our hearts and minds and puts them on his shoulders so that we might be reconciled to God. That's a thought worth holding in your head. Well, the following day, something similar happens, and two of John's disciples, one of them is named Andrew, see Jesus and so start to follow him. Well, you can imagine, how would you feel? So you're wandering around Stouffer's, right, minding your own business, checking the shelves, and you feel somebody's following you, right? And you turn and you say, "Well, excuse me, what are you looking for?" And so Jesus asked them, "What are you looking for?" And in response, they sort of ask a non sequitur, "Well, where are you staying?" That's a strange thing, you know. I mean, if somebody said to you, if they're following you around Stouffer's, and you say, you know, "Where are you looking for?" And you say, "Where are you staying?" You say, "Well, excuse me, what's going to do with you?" But they apparently knew who Jesus was, and so they followed him. And Jesus' response was, "Come and see. Come and see." So what are you coming to Jesus for? Why are you following him? What have you come to see? It's an important thing, apparently, for John, because he's very precise about this. He tells you when it happens. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I have no idea what that means. But it's important to John, because he said it happened at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So,
Andrew goes to find his brother Simon. And he brings him to Jesus. And in that encounter, Jesus gives him another name. Hi, I'm Simon. No, you're not. You're Peter. No, I'm Simon. I was. When you encounter Jesus, it changes your name. It changes your life. And it's a symbolic name, freighted with meaning. Cephas tells us in Greek. Actually, in Aramaic, Kepha, which means rock. I name you rock. I name you the rock, because you will be the rock on which I build my church. When we encounter Jesus, it's a life-changing encounter. In the Orthodox Church, the links go on and on and on. It's amazing. In the Orthodox Church, Andrew is named Protokletos, which means first called, the first disciple to be called by Jesus. And Eusebius, the first historian of the church, will tell us that after the crucifixion, Andrew traveled as far as Russia. He became the patron saint of Russia. He settled for a while in Novgorod, the heart of the beginning of Russia. And then from there he wandered over to Greece. And it was in Greece where tradition has it he was martyred. On a saltire. That's not a dispenser of salt. It's a cross like an X. If you want to know what it looks like, take a look at the Episcopal Church flag. That's got the St. Andrew's Cross on it. That's the saltire. It's called the St. Andrew's Cross because apparently at some point some relics of St. Andrew ended up in Edinburgh, which is why Andrew became the patron saint of Scotland. And that saltire, that blue cross, became part of the symbol of the Episcopal Church. Of course, you all know that. I can see by the light of recognition on your faces. You're all saying, my God, I'm glad he mentioned that. Just to remind you, if you'd forgotten, you know, it was Samuel Seabury, the first bishop of the Episcopal Church, who was consecrated in where? Good, I'm glad you know. Aberdeen Cathedral. Aberdeen Cathedral, which is why we have the cross of St. Andrew. All of that began with that encounter with Jesus when Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. Peter, of course, we know ended up in Rome, where he was martyred. And the Apostle Paul from the Epistle, well, you know, he was on his way to Damascus and he wasn't planning to go see Jesus at all. In fact, he was out to sort of persecute all the followers of Jesus, and out of nowhere, he encounters Jesus. And it changed his life and actually changed ours. Paul became the theologian of the church, just as Peter became the rock on which it stands. Each of these meetings was an encounter with the holy. Our lives are filled with encounters like that. I said at the 9:15 service, wouldn't it be wonderful if every encounter we have with people, we accepted that it was an encounter with the holy? That would change the way we talk, wouldn't it? If we were to imagine, as Martin Buber said, that every I-thou conversation, you're the thou, I'm the I, every conversation between you and me or you and whoever, somewhere, somehow, God was in the middle of it. Wouldn't that change the way we have our conversations? Wouldn't that change the way we might think about each other and about ourselves?
just as it changed Andrew and Simon Peter and Paul. Every encounter we have is an encounter with the Holy.
And some are informal. The routine meeting with family and friends,
work colleagues,
fellow parishioners.
But sometimes there is more to these holy encounters than meets the eye. Like the encounter between Jesus and the Magi, or the apostles.
They are life-changing. Where even without sensing it, God in Christ is asking, "So what are you looking for? So what are you looking for?"
The history of the church is filled with such encounters. Look at the catalogue of the saints.
It all began with one encounter.
An encounter with the Holy. And in each encounter with the Holy, there is an invitation. God in Christ saying, "Come and see." And having seen, go and tell others what you have seen. That the Lamb of God came to take our sins, put them on his shoulders, and thereby reconcile us to God. Come and see. Come and be. Be all you are and all you can be. And leave all behind and calm your mind. Come and journey with me. Every time
you walk down that aisle and you come to that place where you receive those holy gifts, that's an encounter with the Holy. When you walk down that aisle, you are leaving everything behind that was binding you for the week. And you're leaving it at that place.
You are accepting an invitation. Come and see. Come and be. And when you leave all those things that have been binding you, all those things that your conscience is afraid, on the shoulders of the one who loves you and me more than we can ever begin to imagine. And we go out renewed in the Spirit. Come and see. Come and be. Be all you are and all you can be. And leave all behind and calm your mind. Come and journey with me. So says Jesus. So says God. And to be him be all the glory. This is why we call it the good news of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.